episode 80 of Tap and Sec. I'm the coolest Eugene, you know, Ginger Ale, here with, as always, Mr. John Selso.
Howdy.
Howdy. And a special guest this week for, you know, everybody's been waiting for the big Ori to come back, you know. Last time you were on here, were you on here when we talked about your wonderful Nashville place?
Oh, no.
Or was that just with, did you not get to defend yourself?
I think it's defend myself.
So the last time you were on here, talked about.
I'm here to defend myself now.
Was that the hooker story in Miami?
The hooker story in Miami? I don't even know what you're talking about. I have no clue what you're talking about.
All right, be politically correct if you want, or deny it until the day you die.
Hashtag
I will find that content and make it bonus content if I have
hashtag
to.
Hashtag MTG stories.
I'll post it on Facebook.
Hashtag $75 out the window. Hashtag GP
and your
Miami.
Pride.
Hashtag frowny face.
Well, hashtag Ryan Ori is here to join
What's
the show
up, all?
Is that sadness on the stack I just saw?
Gosh.
I have sadness split second. It's not on the stack.
No one can respond. You're hopeless. Not even yourself.
Just kidding. I had a fun time this weekend. I'm in a good mood.
What did you do this weekend?
I went to the Invitational.
How'd you do?
Oh, I didn't do good.
Oh, okay. Well,
hashtag,
next topic.
Hashtag forgot to prepare.
Hashtag unprepared hashtags.
Yeah, I mean, that's just basically the lesson I learned this weekend. On a serious note, you know, if you don't actually play Magic, you can't expect to do well at Magic.
So, great tips from Ryan Ori.
Yep.
Everybody. He's bowing right now.
Write that one down for you guys.
That sounds like a Maddenism right there.
Write that on your life pad there for you. Don't forget. Yeah.
We'll take a moment so you guys can go get a pen real fast.
That Tap and Sag life pad. All right. Well, in all the fun, we have decided to do a unique-ish community holiday this week. Today is April 1st, and I think this is an American holiday, as far as I know. Another one of our silly holidays of April Fools. And so I thought it would be fun to discuss some community, more or less internet community for the most part, of April Fools jokes. To be honest, not a lot from the world of Magic that I could find, or that we could find, they could find. But, you know, and there were some pretty funny ones out there. I saw the Chick-fil-A coming out with lollipops flavored like their sauces. So I thought that was kind of funny. Humorous anyway. Clearly didn't fool me, but quite funny. The foil Force of Will, someone had mentioned before the show. I feel like that's been done before. I feel like somebody did that some April Fools in the past. The card's been out forever not to be done. They could at least fold out like a beta looking dual land or something. Nah, it's not believable at all. That was kind of funny, I guess. But Ron, you said Facebook bought Nintendo today?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Was there like an article on that?
Yeah, it was on like one of the tech websites, like BGR and Engadget or something like that.
That's funny. Well, today I had my internship, and we decided the DJs at the radio station DJ above us, and then we do like all the, I guess, grunt work or like promotions and stuff is on the first floor. But there's a break room upstairs that like everybody uses, and it's kind of a running rule that if you have a break room in pretty much any establishment, if you leave food out on the table, labeled, not labeled, halfway labeled, halfway open, closed, sealed, it's got a lock on it, everyone's going to get into it and eat it. That's just the thing. It just always happens. It's just inevitable. So, we thought, hey, everybody likes Oreos. Actually, Lakin likes Oreos, which is the secretary chick. So she decided to go out and get Oreos, and so she ate like one sleeve of them, and then we took the cream out of the middle and put toothpaste in the middle. So like 95% of the Oreos in the box left had toothpaste in the middle, and they looked flawlessly perfect, very perfect. To the point I could not tell the difference after we kind of like looked away for a second. So I haven't heard any feedback on that yet, but it's gotta be good. Cause, you know, it, like, there's no way people don't like try to snag one real quick. Who knows if we're gonna get a lot of feedback from it, cause a lot of people are probably gonna be like, yeah, you just like put it in the trash can and like not tell anyone cause they're embarrassed about it, but Thought we should have set up a camera and put it up on the website, but, you know, another day.
Have we not learned our lessons of taking pictures of people and putting it up online? Come on, guys.
Yeah, keep doing it, because it entertains the world.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, isn't that the lesson? Put that on your pad, too.
Lesson number two, guys.
Taking notes, bitches. I don't care if you're driving, write this down. No. And then an interesting one. We still have not decided if this is supposed to be a joke or he's just having fun, but Bruce Richard wrote, the same author that wrote the podcasting article on Daily MTG, wrote an article about cat decks. So I could see this being serious, but at the same time,
it's an article about cats. It's definitely not serious.
No, I know, but, like, if you choose a day for this to come out on, it's April 1st, right? Like,
I mean, I agree, disagree, but whatever. I mean, like,
it has a Phyrexian metamorph in it. Come on.
I mean, it's a fun article for sure, but, like, if that was his attempt at an April Fool's joke article, like, he failed miserably. The point of an April Fool's joke is to, like, tell a joke that's believable and then say, ha, guess what? It's not true. Like, not write an article.
Message.
Maybe, I guess.
New cat coming soon.
I guess I'm just not on his level.
Maybe I'm not either. There's a lot of things in here that were, like, meant to be funny.
No, it was definitely a good article. I mean, that was very entertaining.
The fuck is this card?
I mean, anything.
Jedit Ojedin of Afravav. What the fuck is this?
Oh, Jedit? That's the word. That's like a Bremaz before Bremaz.
Yeah, man, come on.
Never heard of it.
You get cats or forest walk, man. You attack, you get cats or forest walk.
Seems good.
Tokens.
So if you get, what is it, the script?
I want forest walking token. Cat walking. Someone should come out with a hound that runs over cats. Now that would have been a good one.
Lava hounds tap destroy target cat.
You'd think they'd release a spoiler somewhere, like a fake spoiler for...
Yeah.
Like, that should be, like, an annual thing. Even if we know it's coming, like, that should be a Wizards April Fool's joke, right? And just make it believable, make a new symbol, make it, since From the Vault's coming, like, do that, or a conspiracy spoiler that's not real.
Exactly. They should have made some announcement that was...
A new unset, that would have been a good one, because we all would have fucking believed that.
Yep.
Yeah. Or Journey in the Nyx spoiler. It's just completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, like some, like we're reprinting Ancestral Recall in Journey in the Nyx. Like.
Yeah, I would have put my shit and then questioned it. But I would still investigate to the point to make sure it was false. Like.
You know what actually, I gotta put a stop for a second. You know what actually makes me feel worse about this holiday? Is that when somebody when somebody tells you news and then the entire day, or even if it's real news, the entire day you don't believe it's real. Like
it's 24 hours of losing trust in all your friends and family.
I know. I'm going out of town in 2.5 weeks with a bunch of friends, and I found out today that one of them isn't going. Or is he? I don't know. He's supposedly sick now and can't go, but who knows? You know, I mean, I won't know until tomorrow. Or maybe I won't know tomorrow, or maybe I'll find out tomorrow he is sick, and I'll feel bad that I thought about it all day.
But, yeah, so my guy calls into work, and he's like, I can't come in today. My dog of 10 years died. And then you're like, that's funny, April Fools. You don't even have a fucking dog, do you? And they're like, no.
Yeah, not anymore.
You
died.
Have a dog, and you're a fucking dick, and I quit. Like,
oh, damn. Now I got to find a new employee.
And then you call people and they're like, would you like to come in for an interview? And they're like, haha, that's funny. I'm not coming in an interview. It's April Fool's Day. Fuck you. And you're like, oh, gosh. I have to wait till April 2nd to do anything productive. But
well, I have a couple other ones that were pretty awesome today around the interwebs to share.
Google one.
There is a university out in Missouri where the front page has Dougie all over it. Like, every typical picture is replaced with Dougies. So
like the dance,
the baseball. So like the baseball team, they would show a picture of a guy coming back after a home run or something. And they're high fiving everybody, and like one of the guy's heads replaced with a dog, and like people doing a community service project, and then like somebody else's head is replaced by with the doggy picture. So it was pretty cool.
Teach me how to doggy. Teach me how to doggy.
Exactly. LinkedIn announced they're going to give you a new feature, cats you may know versus people you may know.
Sweet.
and then they show you how your cat connected to the cats. And you can make cat connections.
Get it? Connections?
Exactly. The Telegraph, I think that's a British paper, announced that Darth Vader is going to run for election in Ukraine's presidential race.
That's worth a move for a vote.
Yeah, exactly. I think the tagline says, Sith Lord wants to make an, quote, empire out of a republic after Ukraine's election in May. and
that's
then
great.
Why can't
we be that country?
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
And Domino's, lastly, in the UK, announced they're introducing the Edda Box, an edible box for your pizza, the world's first in snackaging innovation.
That's great. My favorite one of the whole day is probably the Google one, the Google Maps video encouraging people to travel the world on your phone to find all 151 Pokemon. And the deadline is April 2nd to find them all, and you will get invited to the Googleplex, is what they called it, Googleplexity or something, the battlegrounds to fight off to get a job for Google. But they have this really elaborate, I'll try to remember to put it in the show notes, a really elaborate video of, like, people scouring the earth and, like, climbing mountains and throwing Pokeballs into, like, cave holes to grab, like, Charizards, and they're on safaris watching, like, Duduos run or something. Like, it's just burning, that money that's burning a hole in their pocket, they get to use it on fun stuff like this. I'm okay with it, I guess. That was pretty entertaining, so I was happy with it. And then there's a prankster on YouTube. He did one last year. Last year he confessed to his mom that he needed money, and then he was addicted to heroin, and she beat the living shit out of him for being addicted to heroin, and then he had, like, while he was getting beat with, like, something heavy in a sock that she somehow made really quick and was starting to hit him with, he confessed that it was just an April Fool's joke. This year, he brought, like, a friend and her baby and told his mom, like, he hadn't seen her in a while, and told her that he just got a DNA test back that was his kid. And he had, like, legit papers that he got for the joke. And he did it, I think it's a week before April Fool's, or 3 days before April Fool's or something, for his mom wouldn't, you know, see what was coming as she did from last year. So that was pretty hilarious. And she raged about broke one of his cameras. And it was quite entertaining. But gotta love those April Fool's jokesters. So, but I guess we'll move on to a little magical talk.
Aw, I was just reading all about the April Fool's jokes.
Oh, what do you got, Ori?
Oh, no, nothing really good. I mean, the ones I was all reading were all pretty stupid.
So now that we knocked out that community highlight, let's jump into,
Whoa, guys, that was weird. It was like somebody else was here. Anyway,
there's a smell in here.
I know. You smell that too?
Somebody funky was here.
Yeah, really. Like, I don't know. It smells kind of like Tennessee or Nashville and like Connecticut. It's a bad smell.
No, it smells like Tennessee and yuppies.
You know, like, it's like redneck and yuppie all together.
That's an interesting combination.
Yeah, here comes the hate mail. So guys, just in case you missed it earlier when we did our intros, I am your host, Angelo, and I'm back this week with Brother Ryan.
What up?
And Håkon.
Hey. Everyone's favorite Norwegian.
Yes, everybody's favorite Norwegian, the meanest bow tie in Europe himself. this is our posse member for this week, and he's going to help us get through all of these tournaments that went up, and we're going to have some questions for him a little later. But, guys, Mox Championship happened, and I don't know about you guys, but I watched far more of this than I probably should have.
How did you watch this?
I was because they played Limited Magic, therefore it was better than everything else.
No, I mean, it just because it was like, you know, the computer screen thing. It was like watching, like, over someone's shoulder on the internet. Like, I don't know, it was kind of weird.
You know what? I actually liked it better because I wasn't depending on them. You know, like when they switch games and they're like, well, so what's the life total? And then you have to wait four turns to find the life total. All I had to do on this was look up in the corner, and I knew what the life totals was. Like, all the information I needed was right in front of me as I was watching it. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and well, and one thing, I'm not going to say I didn't, you know, that I blew this off. I did watch a little bit of it. One thing I enjoyed about this coverage was, man, these online players are scary, dude. Their pace of play was like nuts.
That's the way you got to play when you play online, bro. You're on a clock, and your clock is independent from your opponent's clock. So if you don't use your time quickly and you run out of time, you're the one that loses, not the opponent. So, like, you have to use your time briskly. You have to think ahead a couple turns.
I didn't know that. I had no idea. All I know is that, man, these guys are scary, dude. If they, you know, transition over to paper, like, they just, the pace of play was really impressive. Like, I'm sitting there trying to think what line maybe they would go with, and then boom, it's like, they're already.
Yeah, they already did it.
Some players did time out during the weekend, though.
Yeah, you're inevitably going to have that here and there. I did see a couple games that did go to time. One of them was day two, I want to say, and it was between two competitors who were both like 6-1 or 7-0. It was kind of ridiculous, but the one timed out, and it was Tamos Gleed versus I want to say Lars Dam. And it was early day two, and both of them ended up in the top four, so it really didn't matter. But here were our competitors for this year. Val Villanueva Perez, he's a Chord 3. Andre Straska, that's a Strata 3. Gabriel Ragaz, yeah. That's a Lauren.
Wait. We should let Hakon maybe say these names.
Yeah, you know what? Hakon, how do you say his, like, go over all the competitors. Don't get into the top four yet.
All the competitors?
Yes, competitors.
You started with...
I started at the bottom, and right now I'm on Paul.
Yeah, right. Paul Nemeth, Seth Manfield, Bing Luke, Parand Lee, Hannes Kerem, he's Estonian, I think.
Okay.
David Kaufmann, Bruno Diaz, Rune Tikar Andersen, Ansi Alkio, Finnish, I believe, and then there's the top four.
How do you pronounce that middle name? Because I'd have messed that all up. On Rune?
Rune Tikar Andersen.
Okay.
He's Danish though, so I'm going with the Norwegian pronunciation, which is probably going to be pretty close, but not exactly.
It's better than what I would have gave him, trust me.
at the bottom there, am I remotely close? Andre Strassi. Did I say that right at all? I don't know.
Probably.
I think that's Eastern Europe. That sounds like Czechoslovakian.
Yeah, so we had our top four. These are the guys who got to play on the last day, and it was Lars Dom, Thomas Gleed, Corey Lack, and Dmitry Budakov. Their MTG names are as follows. For Dam, Malavi. For Gleed, it's Mazuku94. For Lack, it's CJ Lack92. And for Budakov, it's Budakov. You've probably seen these names on MTGO if you play it, trust me.
You should know who Dmitry Budakov is.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I have seen every one of these names. And actually, you should know who Ansi Alkio is. He was just, he just top eighted something, one of the Pro Tour. Yeah, he just top eighted the Pro Tour.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay, so here's the way the top four broke down. It was Lars Dam versus Dmitry Budakov. Goodbye, returning champion. Lars Dam beats him. Corey Lack over Thomas Gleed, 2-0, and Lars Dam takes it all down, 2-0. Congratulations to him and his large $25,000 check.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one happy day at the end of that tournament. He said in interviews during the tournament that he wasn't sure he'd even have a chance at getting a good placement here because he had some trouble with submitting the deck lists. Did you hear?
No, I did not hear about this.
Apparently, a message from Wafsy ended up in his spam filter.
Ooh.
So he didn't get the message that he was supposed to submit decklists beforehand until he was at the airport. And at that time, while waiting for a plane, he submitted what decklists he had on his MTGO account right there.
Oh, way to come through at the last second. So,
wow.
Yeah. So they played everything in this. I mean, literally everything. Standard decks. We had, Ansi Alkyo. He did not do well with his deck, but he brought the, new Dredge deck.
It's been popping up.
He did not have good luck with it at all, man.
I still think this is a deck that's being tweaked. I think a huge mistake is, do you want to go over it real quick? Because I got some comments on this.
Well, speak on it then.
Okay, so his creatures, 2 Deathrite Shaman, 4 Elvish Mystic, 3 Herald of Torment, 2 Gerard, Golgari Licklord, 2 Lotlet Troll, 4 Nemesis Immortals, 4 Night Howler, 4 Satyr White Wayfinder, 2 Shadowborn Demon, and 4 Sylvan Caryatid. Lands, by the way, are just 4 Overgrown Tomb, 7 Swamp, 9 Forest. That's pretty much what we've been seeing with this list. 9 other spells, 4 Commune with the Gods, 4 Grisly Salvage, and 1 Whip of Erebos. First of all, I think 2 Lotlet Trolls is a huge mistake. This deck wants all 4 of them, period.
I think so too, because aside from Wayfinder, you don't have all the ways to get cards into the graveyard that you would want.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like Commune with the God, it's like Wayfinder and Lotlet Troll are your ways. Oh, I guess like Grizzly Salvage too, but I think Lotlet Troll, 4 of us, probably a right call on that.
Yeah, one of these decks just 4-0'd a daily on the 27th, and another got 3rd recently in a standard premiere, I believe. And all the top 16 decks, Ari Laxes that we've seen recently at a GP, they all run the 4 Lotlet Trolls. Like, that just seems to be what I think is actually a mistake. And I know it's a good card, and it has a lot of synergies with this deck, and its bestow cost at 4 is pretty good, but Night Howler is not the nut. It's just not that great, and I don't like seeing 4 of them. I really don't like.
You know what? If I'm not running 4 Night Howler, I'm not running this deck.
See, I just don't think it's that good. First of all, we had someone comment that they played this deck at a tournament recently, and if a Scavenging Ooze came down, it was just game over. And that's pretty much why. Their sideboard is 1 Golgari Charm, 4 Mistcutter Hydras, 2 Scavenging Oozes themselves, 2 more Shadowborn Demons, 4 Thoughtseize, and 2 more Whip of Erebos. So we're talking 3 whips between his 75. I think that's just way, I don't know, I think it's a lot, at least 1 too many. And he's got no way to, outside of landing a Shadowborn Demon, we're killing it with a creature blocking it. I mean, Scavenging Ooze just wrecks this deck, man. And we've had people on the Posse page comment on that are running this deck, that there's no answer for Scavenging Ooze. If they land a Scavenging Ooze, it's like over. I'd like to see an Abrupt Decay in this list. And, yeah, I think if you're running green-black in standard right now, there's absolutely no reason you shouldn't have at least 1 Abrupt Decay in your 75.
What are you intending to kill with the Abrupt Decay that you're not hitting with Shadowbone Demon and Golgari Charm? Because those 2 cards together clean up pretty much everything.
Yeah, but he's only got the 1 Golgari Charm. And this deck is, I don't know, I think Golgari Charm is, you know, probably at best against your control matchups. This is a creature heavy build, and the regenerate on there is, I mean, and aside, you know, killing enchantments, of course, obviously, there's that, but I think regenerate's pretty relevant too. Golgari Charm's really good. I think that should be more than a 1 of in the sideboard also. Right.
Okay, I mean, if I'm not running Night Howler, that's the reason to put all of your creatures in your graveyard. I mean, I just don't see any point in running the deck if you're not running 4 of them. My opinion, again, I could be wrong. Lord knows it's happened before, but
I like the card in the deck, like, you know, 2 or 3 of. I think a full book of them is just...
Well, when you're throwing cards into your graveyard, you kinda need to be able to have 4 of them so you guarantee that you get one. It's a little different than, you know, cause you're throwing so many cards into your graveyard, it's a little different than when you can say, oh, I'm gonna put 2 in here because I should be able to draw 1 if the game goes long. Well, if you only throw 2 of them in there, guess what? You could commune with it, you could do something to where they all disappear, you know? And it's like, ah, damn it, I never did actually get to play one because I took another card over it.
Yeah, fair.
You know, so, but he went 0-4 with it. You know, this is a lot higher quality than a daily, so take the numbers with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Bing Luke, he was playing your very standard mono black build, and he went 1-3. Bruno Diaz went 2-2, and he was running your green red. It's Jund Monsters.
Okay.
Corey Lack 3-1, and he was your blue splash white. David Kaufman, mono black 2-2. Dmitry Budakov, he was running him some Esper control. Very, very standard list. Farrard Lee.
This is sick. Yeah, this is a pretty sweet looking nihilist. This is interesting.
Yeah, it is. We have 4 Archangel of Thune, 2 Courser of Crucifix, 4 Elvish Mystic, 4 Sylvan Keratid, 1 Sylvan Primordial, 2 Voice of Resurgence, 4 Xenagos the Reveler, 4 Mizzium Mortars, 3 Elspeth Sun's Champion, 2 Chandra Pyromancer, a Chain to the Rock, 2 Boros Charm, and Assemble the Legion. Sideboard consists of 1 Boros Charm, 3 Chain to the Rocks, 4 Miscutter, a Pythic Needle, a Revoke Existence, a Rorik Thar. Yeah, I just want to stick one of those one time against Esper. Just one time. Unravel the Aether. He has 2 of those in there. And 2 more Voice of Resurgence. So, interesting deck. We have Gabriel Rogesner. I mispronounced that. I know I did. And he's on, like, it's Bant and it's Strange. This is more than Bant, isn't it?
It's a Mazes End deck.
Yeah, it's a Mazes End deck. It's strange.
And he went 1-3 because it's a Mazes
End deck.
It's cool though. I mean, I don't know, man. I like Kiora. I think Kiora is pretty good in Mazes End, but I don't think it's the home for her necessarily, but it is a good fit. Yeah, I mean, this deck, I don't know. It's kind of laughable. So
yeah,
I mean, you have some really shit luck to lose to it. So
we have Haynes Karim. He went 1-3 with his standard deck, and it was your mono black deck, but he was running Erebos main.
Yeah, something. I mean,
and a little metagame call. You're only playing against 16 people. Why not?
Yeah, and a lot of people are running 2 Erebos in the sideboard. He's got the 1 in the sideboard and the 1 main board. I mean, like I've said before on the show, like, when my mono black at events, I play an Erebos main board just because my meta mono black is so prevalent and right. Control is big also. So to have the 1 main board Erebos is just, it's just a 1 card hedge against, you know, a big part of the meta.
Fair enough. Lars Dan 3-1, he's running mono black splashing red for Sire of Insanity. Yep, that's it. Just Sire of Insanity.
Yeah, no.
And he does have a Slaughter Games in there, but you know, it's Slaughter Games.
Ran a black red list the other week that splashed for Rakdos Return, Sire of Insanity, and I think the Slaughter Games. He's not running any, I don't see any Rakdos Return in his set.
No, it's a Slaughter Games and 2 Sire of Insanity.
Pretty sick.
Yep. So we have
one different thing though. He's only running 2 pack rats in the main board.
Yeah, that's wrong. I can't say that enough. That's wrong.
It's falling off though. I mean, and this isn't.
If you're going to play pack rat, play 4 of them.
Play 4. Yeah.
Just play 4. There's no other card in your deck that on turn 2 you can say, I win with. And you know what? On turn 3 it's pretty good. On turn 4 it's pretty good. On turn 5 it's pretty good. It just says I win a lot of times. Just play 4 of them. Just play 4 of them.
Yeah,
and not 2 more on the sideboard.
I go right now, and I'm running.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
And the mono black I have sleeved up. I have 3 pack rats main, I think. It's as good as it is on turn 2 and on turn 5. It's not really a card you want to draw multiples of in your starting hand because it limits your options to only going with the pack rat plan.
Yeah. Right, but
it's not as good as it was a couple months ago. It really isn't as good as it was. The tension sphere is huge in the meta now, much more so than when Mono Black Devotion was like, you know.
Right, but you can force their hand with it. And even like if you draw 2 in your opening hand, I mean, that's a reset. Like, okay, so they finally do pull the, you know, the detention sphere or
there's a lot of bio blights though, and there's also a lot of in the
top flight, they got like a turn to take care of it.
Well, you're also seeing 3 or 4 in a lot of sideboards, 3 or 4 dark betrayals. And when you're on the draw,
they have to have it never mind, dude. Dark Betrayal is not an answer unless it's on the turn that you play it. Vile Blight, it's very similar. It's like you got 2 turns to actually hit it with a Vile Blight or it's useless. And, I mean, I don't know, like, I just still think it's just the dead nuts. My opinion, again. Okay. Andres Strotsky, 3-1, and he's running him some, creatureless Esper. Or, wait, it's creatureless blue-white. This is interesting.
Has got the elixir. Only one out, or no, two outfits, yeah.
Yeah, neat. So we have Paul Nemeth 2-2. He was running him some, black, white, blue Esper, and all he was doing was running two Obsidat and two Blood Baron because that's enough.
And two Elspeth.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was thinking strictly creatures there. Elspeth is, you know, you only really need one of those two.
Elspeth was surely his most important win condition.
Right. He definitely was hedging against the field, though. Like, you could tell he was expecting to see some black.
Well, I'd say hedging against the mirror, because Blood Baron and Obsidat are both really good in the mirror match.
They are. Okay, so Rune Anderson 1-3, and he was running him some monsters. Yay, monsters. And it was the black, you know, it was the Jund monsters. He has some Vraska. Love that card. Seth Mansfield, he's got your very basic 3-1 Esper deck with an Aetherling in there. And Tomas...
No, this is an interesting... This is blue-white
with black. It's Esper.
He's one Doomblade main board, one black spell main... Well, and yeah, I guess he's got Thoughtseize main board too, but I like the three Dark Betrayals in the sideboard a lot and the extra Doomblades and Duresses. Yeah, I like Dark Betrayal a lot in the sideboard. Hain, we saw Alexander Hain do it at the recent GP he won, and it's kind of fallen out, but I think it's really good in this deck.
Okay, moving on. Tamos lead, he went 4-0 with, Mono Black. I mean,
well,
no, he does have Ashiok, so this is worth talking about, because he actually is running Ashiok. But aside from that, it's straight Mono Black.
That's yep. Pretty sweet.
8 non-basic lands in order to splash one card. 3 copies of it, though.
Yes, and you know what? When that thing goes off, it gets pretty nutty.
Well, he's also got the 4th Ashiok in the board and 4 Notion Thieves.
Right, which we've been seeing Notion Thieves in the board for a while.
As a one of, never.
Yeah. Well, he's running a lot more, islands there. He's got 9 blue sources in the deck, so. He actually is running an island. I mean, think about that. Villanueva, he was 2-2, and Blue red white. Okay, interesting. All right. Cloud Fin Raptor, 4 of them, and Afara, 4 Frostburn, weird. No, this is, all right, I'm thinking stupid because I have worked way too many hours in the last day. It's blue/white.
Blue/white.
Yeah, I got confused. My bad.
It's just, again, the 4 Detention Spheres and 1 Afara. I still think the mono blue doesn't need to slash the white, but Detention Sphere is really, really good right now. I'm not a huge fan of the splash. I'm sorry.
Okay, so they also did some Theros Born of the Gods drafting, but because Ryan wanted to talk Mono Black for 2 hours, we're just going to skip over that. We have some Modern that they also did, which we should just real quickly go over this. Let's see, I'm seeing Deceiver Exarchs right off the top with Splinter Twins. Anybody else tired of that?
Okay. What are we looking at? Modern deck list?
Yes. Bing Luke, he's got him. What the hell deck is this?
John.
Yeah, I really should prepare myself more.
That's John. I'm not seeing anything, too.
No, I mean, there's really nothing, really. We have Bruno Diaz. He was on Kiki Jiki Twin. He actually had Kiki Jiki. Corey Lack, he was running him some Jund.
Hey, you know what's missing from all these decks?
Good cards.
Birthing Pod. Oh, my God. Let's ban it.
No. Okay. All right. I will explain that one to you.
Seth Manfield.
Wait. I will explain why you're not seeing a bunch of Birthing Pod. It's because you're playing on your own timer.
Well, Seth Manfield ran Birthing Pod because he always does.
Well, yeah. I mean, some players who are really good and quick at it, they can do it. It's just like when Eggs was the best deck in Modern, hands down, you never saw it online.
My point is, if a card's oppressive and is ban-worthy, it would have dominated this event as well. This
Lost did go 4-0 with a Birthing Pod deck.
Ha! So shut up.
2 of them. 2 Birthing Pod lists, though, out of all these players, like, is not... You know, format defining, like, when Birthing Pod represents 50 and even 75% of a field, like Jund did at an event, when it had Bloodbraid Elf, you could talk about banning Birthing Pod. Birthing Pod never shows up more than 15% of the field. It's not ban-worthy.
Here's the thing, and I'm not necessarily saying it's ban-worthy, I think other things need unbanned. But here's where the issue is. Modern has become a fair combo dominated, format. Fair combo. Not, you know, the degenerate turn to I win game type combos. What?
I don't think Splinter Twin is a fair combo, but okay.
It's just as fair as Pod.
Yeah, I guess.
It just is. I mean, it's just as
Pod
fair as Sword.
Pod takes more work to assemble than Splinter Twin combo, dude.
Dude, trust me.
Pod is a lot harder to play, in my opinion.
Okay, because it's hard. I'll sit you down in front of eggs and watch you go stupid. It doesn't mean that it's not a combo. I mean, it's still a combo. It's a fair combo. It doesn't win turn two. It wins between turn four and six. That's how the deck's set up. Same with Storm. Same with fucking Twin. Just because you don't like Twin doesn't mean that you can't lump these other ones together.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying it's not a combo. Obviously, Twin is a fucking combo.
That's what you just said! No,
it's not a fair combo.
Twin is a very fair combo.
No, sitting across from Twin, when you lose to Twin, you have a bad feeling. When you lose to Pod, you never fucking feel bad. Like, you
actually
in the game.
Yeah?
You've been playing longer than Ryan. Probably, you know, closer to as long as I played.
No.
No?
Damn. No, sorry. I'm not that experienced, but I could chime in with some opinions if that
yeah, I mean, do you understand what I'm saying when I say fair combo?
I know you're fair in that it doesn't kill you on turn two. I get that.
So if it doesn't kill you on...
Because it's creature-based, so you can kill the creature. And Twin is an enchantment, so you can kill the enchantment. And they require quite a lot of mana, and there's no acceleration in the format that allows you to do all of this on turn one or two. So it's reasonably fair. It's not like combo decks in Legacy, where a seven-card hand wins you the game right there. That's
what I'm trying to say is Twin is like, can come out of nowhere and combo you and you didn't see it coming. At least with Birthing Pod, you see the shit coming. You know what's about to happen to you. Like, and therefore...
And you, for some reason, like that better. Like, dude, if I'm going to get killed, I want to get killed by the bullet I don't see coming. I don't want to be killed by the dude who comes up, sticks the gun in my face, punches me in the face with the end of the gun six times, and then decides to pull the trigger. Dude, am I right?
I don't know. It's a lot... I mean, both can be disrupted. I just think the Twin has more resiliency in the shell we see it. Like, that's just my opinion, dude. I don't like Splinter Twin at all. I think Splinter Twin is a card that should be banned, but.
I don't think it should be banned. I think that, however, they need to give Control some of its toys back.
I think Jace, I think Twin should be banned and Jace the fucking Mind Sculptor should be unbanned. That's just me, but.
I think Jay should be unbanned, but I don't think Splinter Twin should be banned. I don't see no reason to ban it. I just don't, man. Legitimately.
Do you think Twin would run Jace the Mind Sculptor if he was unbanned?
They already have a lot going on at four.
It's not a perfect fit into the deck.
Right, so I don't think it is.
Strengthen the other decks more, relatively.
I mean, they may find a copy or two in it, but I do think it's a rough to jam that in here. You know, although the Brainstorm is going to be good for it, clearly. I'm not sure that it would fit 100% of the time. It just, yeah. Depends on how much Jace would actually work the format, to be honest. And the fact that a Jace doesn't kill a Jace is another reason for it not to run it. So, Budikoff, we'll move to him. He was on him some Jund. What? Whoa! Farron Lee was running Laboratory Maniac. I love it.
And he went 0-4.
But I don't care. I love it. I absolutely love it. 23 islands.
Big dick, Farron Lee with a Jace memory adept in the board. In some modern. That's pretty crazy. Haven't seen that.
And I bet he targets himself.
One game he had turn 2 Howling Mine, turn 3 Howling Mine, turn 4 Howling Mine, Howling Mine.
That's just giving way too many cards to your opponents.
It did go 0-4, but it's an interesting deck.
it's an interesting deck. I love it because he had the nuts to come with something that was just utter garbage and go, I'm going to do it. Rosin, yeah, that name. He was on him some fish, and he got some...
What?
Well, for Meddling Mage, that's a good reason to.
And Path to Exile, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I named Splinter Twin. Huh, Ryan, I just beat it with a 2-drop. Have an answer. Kareem, he was running him some artifact goodness here, which we've gone over this deck multiple times.
It's Infinity.
Yep, Lars Dam. 4-0 with Birthing Pod. Andrzej Strotsky.
And you know what? And he won the whole event. And it just goes, the deck just rewards good players, man. The best players, I think, in Modern, outside of Patrick Diekman, they all fucking play pop. I think that says a lot about the deck just.
It's the best deck.
No, it rewards experienced players and people who know it really, really well. It's a deck that rewards how the time you put into it, your experience, and how good of a player you really are. Like, it's not a deck that, like, someone could just take to a Modern event and fucking spike and crush everybody.
I do not play Modern. Okay? I just don't play it. It's Constructed Magic. You know my feelings about that. Build this deck for me. Watch what I do with it.
If your average player takes a pod deck to a Modern event, they're going to do worse than if they took, like, Mono Red Burn.
Well, yeah, but Mono Red Burn is, you know, for idiots. I'm sorry for all those Mono Red Burn players out there.
If your average Magic player went to a Modern event and played, and you handed them a pod deck, they would go maybe 2-2.
Well, yeah, because, alright.
Would do better.
That's not your average Magic player, though. I mean, those are your... I mean, look, everybody starts with Mono Red Burn and then they move on to other things.
Pod, you see a lot of people at your shops and people playing Pod because they think it's the best deck and they don't know what they're fucking doing. So just beat them because they're not good Pod players.
It's still, I mean, as far as the tools go in the deck, it's the best deck. There's an answer for every single situation in this deck built into it. That's why this deck is as good as it is.
And its answers are fragile in one-ups. You know what I mean? Like,
it's all it needs to be.
The one answer.
You have 3 Court of Calling and 4 Birthing Pod. That's all it needs to be as a one-up.
Okay, and you play Stony Silence, and you play Graphic.
How's that stop Court of Calling?
I'm just saying there's a lot more. How does what stop Court of Calling?
You're the first one, Stony Silence.
And then the Grafdigger's Cage.
Okay, you gotta get both of them out.
Run fucking, I crush Pod all the time with, Modern Death and Taxes. Run that.
Yeah, okay.
If you really hate Pod at your store.
I'm moving on. Andre Strotsky, he was on Him Some Fish, but he was not Slashing Light.
He played really well though.
Yes.
It was enjoyable to see him play. He only went 2-2, but there was some, variance involved there.
Okay. I like Fish. I mean, I wish it was still good in Legacy, but alas, it's not. Paul Nemeth, he was on Kiki, but not, I see no twins. I see none. No twins.
No, it's Kiki Resto Angel.
Rune Anderson, I see a Spirit Simeon. Yeah, you know the words I was talking about. Ah, it's Ad Nauseam. That explains it.
Ad Nauseam Lightning Storm.
Yeah.
What?
It's similar to the Ad Nauseam Tendrils deck from Legacy, but, as a finisher, it's running Lightning Storm.
Huh.
Should I go through it?
Yeah,
go ahead.
So 4 creatures, is 4 Simian Spirit Guides, and those are only there for mana. Then there's, 36 spells, 4 Ad Nauseam, 4 Angel's Grace, 1 Conjurer's Bauble, 1 Lightning Storm, 4 Lotus Bloom, 3 Pact of Negation, 4 Peer-Through Depths, 4 Pentad Prison, 2 Phyrexian Unlife, 4 Zerum Visions, 1 Slaughter Pact, and 4 Sleight of Hand. So what this deck does, in case it isn't obvious, is you play either Phyrexian Unlife or Angel's Grace in order to be able to pay infinite life without dying, and then you play Ad Nauseam and draw your entire deck.
And as a backup plan, you do have a Laboratory Maniac in the sideboard.
Yeah. So the win con is casting Lightning Storm out of your Simian Spirit Guys and discarding a whole lot of lands to make this lethal.
It's fun.
That's pretty funny.
Yep, but it went 1-3.
That's a cool way to kill somebody, though.
Oh, yeah. Cool way. Seth Mansfield, 1-3 with Pod. Tamos Gleed, he was on Him Some Jund. Although, you know, it's worth noting that all the Jund decks have the Corsair Crucifix in there. I mean, Villanueva, he was on Splinter Twin, and that was our Modern decks for this. And they also did some cubing, which, if you like cube, you can check out the deck list. I don't really have the, care to go over what every deck list does and why it does it. Cube's pretty straightforward. You can usually read them and figure out what they're doing, because when you play a cube, you build a constructed deck.
Yeah, if it's not Booze Cube, fuck it. Megan's into Cube, but I just can't get behind it.
I like Cube. I mean, but I don't like the way MTGO's Cube's set up because too many Phantom tickets. Like, if you're not in an 8-4, you're playing in a Swiss, and you only get Phantom tickets for that. And if you're playing in an 8-4, you're doing something like Cube, which isn't always there, and it's something that, once you do it, it's very enjoyable, and you'd want to do more, but all you can win is Phantom tickets off of it. And when that's all you're getting, like, I don't want to join an 8-4 and then lose in the first round and go, God damn it, I don't get to play two more games unless they're showing
up. I'll play a Cube or somebody's Cube. I don't know, like, when it, like, may come and stuff, they become, like, a obsession, and they, like, take over people. I don't know, man. People that build cubes.
I had a cube for a while.
Yeah.
It was a popper cube. It was fun.
That sounds pretty sweet.
All commons. Good times. So, as if that wasn't enough crap going on, SCG decided they was going to have an invitational this weekend, which also has an open.
Yeah.
So, they played a ton of Magic. I guess I'll real quickly go over our top 8 competitors from the invitational. And we have Joe Lossette versus Wilson Hunter. Wilson Hunter wins 3-1. Yeah, old school pro style. Derek Sheets versus Christopher Arnold. Derek Sheets wins 3-2. Tom Ross versus Jesse Hefner. Hefner wins 3-1. Jared Butcher versus Greg Spano. Greg Spano wins 3-1. Hefner over Spano, 3-1. Derek Sheets over Hunter, 3-2. And Derek Sheets wins it all. Ryan, you want to explain this tournament?
The invitational, if I could get my fucking internet, quit being a bastard right now.
Oh, okay. Well, you know. It learned it from watching you, man. It learned from watching you.
Sorry. So, okay, Charlotte, okay, the invitational for standard, the top standard deck list, I guess they don't really matter in terms of the invitational because they play Legacy.
Both. You know? Yeah, they play both.
So, I mean, some of these people that got first or second could have had a real, you know, shitty time with the standard portion of the tournament. So I don't see a point in really covering the decks for the invitational part.
Actually, they didn't. Trust me, if they made it to the top 8, they had a good time with everything. Because it's just the way it's set up. I mean, we do have, as far as the legacy decks go, I mean, we have Stoneblade, we have Delver, Rugged version, we have Red, I wish they'd do these right. We have Metalworker, we have Storm, we have, Miracles, we have Infect, we have Painted Stone, and we have Loam Pox, which that just made my day. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Loam Pox deck, it was funny because, like, when I first saw it, I'm like, this doesn't look like, you know, the Pox that I would run. There's Tombstalkers in here. What the hell is going on? And then I get to looking at it, I'm like, oh, he has 3 life from the Loam, main board. And there's a lot of your normal Pox stuff in here, but there's a little bit more, words, yes. There's a little bit more that you can do with this than you can with the other one. So, I mean, I thought that was kind of cool. You know, anytime you have a life from the Loam and Wasteland, why not?
Yeah, I do, not to, get off of the legacy, I do want to give a shout out to Reed Duke for playing something new and standard and doing well. He got 10th place.
Sweet.
Running a bit of junk mid-range, so.
I've been waiting for that deck to show up. So, as far as the standard goes, we have, Black-Red Devotion. We have.
Sweet.
White-Blue Humans. We have Red-White Burn. We have, Black-White Mid-Range. We have Red-White Burn. We have Red-Green Aggro. We have Black-White Mid-Range. And we have Rug Monster. So it's actually, between both formats, we had a nice spread.
Yeah, I mean, and again, Red-White Burn is showing up. It's kind of everywhere the last few weeks, online, and now it's kind of, we're seeing it in the paper tournaments now quite a bit more. I know it did get first place in Seattle, I believe, 2 or 3 weeks ago, so.
As is yeah, normal progression of...
Nothing, I mean, really super new. Reed Duke's Junk Midrange, though, is pretty sweet with 2 Archangel Athune and 4 Scavenging Ooze. Okay, that's some sick-ass synergy. 4 Sylvan Caryatid, 4 Courser of Krufix, 2 Obsidots, and 2 Pelucranos. Archangel Athune I like a lot, man, and he's really abusing the synergies with it. I mean, Archangel Athune, and he's got Scavenging Ooze, Courser of Krufix, and Obsidot, all of which gain him life.
Yep.
So, I mean, you can just get straight up nuts with Archangel on this list. And his point, he's got 2 Elspeth and 1 Vraska. So there you go. Spells, 1 Underworld Connection, 4 Abrupt Decay, 4 Heroes Downfall, 1 Read the Bones, and 4 Thoughtseize. Reed Duke, I don't agree with him, but he's a better player than I am. Said Abrupt Decay is the best card in standard right now, and he just wanted to run a deck that ran 4 of them. This was the best deck he found in his testing that he said that had 4 copies of Abrupt Decay. So if you like Abrupt Decay, this might be the list for you. So his sideboard is one Needle, three Mist Cutters, two Collectors, three Underworlds, one Dark Rail, one Doomblade, one Golgari Bomb, and three Duress. So.
Sweet. Okay, so we have Ryan, you can go disappear into your hole now.
Yeah.
Me and Huckon is going to go ahead, and we're going to talk us and Legacy, because you do like Legacy, right?
Yep.
Okay. We're going to talk some Legacy. So the top eight, Todd Anderson versus Dylan Donegan. Donegan wins 2-0. Michael Braverman versus Michael Majors. Majors wins 2-1. Philip Braverman beats Andres Prost 2-0. Dustin Biggers 2-1 over Kevin Jones. I thought I was looking at a typo there. Philip Braverman over Dustin Biggers 2-0. Michael Majors 2-1 over Donegan, and Michael Majors wins this sumbitch 2-1. So, what was he running there, Huckleman?
Blue, white, red Delver.
God damn it.
And he's got True Name Nemesis in it as well. The big bad boy.
Oh yeah, that card's so scary to so many people. I'm already tired of hearing people say ban it.
Not broken.
I haven't heard that in a while.
It's just as difficult.
I hear it all the time. Yeah, you just don't listen to the same people I listen to. I hear it all the time, and I go, shut up. Braverman was on Miracles, which I don't care how many times they call this Miracles. I don't know about you, but I call it Countertop.
I would also call it Countertop, I think. Unless it has a lot more Miracle spells in it than what we've been seeing lately.
Four Terminus, two Entreat.
Countertop.
It's Countertop. I know there's Miracles in it now, but there was no need to change the name on that. We also have Blue-White Miracles. Let's see. Is this another Countertop deck? I bet it is. Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. It's actually very close. Almost card for card. Bug Delver. Meh. Sneak and Show. Meh. Blue-White Red Miracles. Meh. Come on, give me some sauce here somewhere.
Bug Delver and Esper Deathblade in 7th and 8th.
We have Mud in 12th. I mean, that's cool.
People take note. Anyone who uses the acronym, MUD for Mono Blue Devotion, you're wrong.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Do not call Mono Blue Devotion Mud. That's not what it is.
I see that all the time. People saying, Monsters won against Mud in this matchup. And I'm like, Monsters playing Mud? Is there a Monsters deck in Legacy?
Is there a Mud deck in Standard?
Is there a Mud deck in Standard? No, but I think you'll find that in the Invitational we had almost exactly the same lists, and they called it Metal Worker there.
Okay, well, I'll explain for those who don't know why it's not Mono Blue and why Mud is Mud. Mud was called Mud a long time ago. Why? Look at an old artifact. An old one. None of these new ones work. But, you know, like something like a Metalwork or a Grim Monolith. And look at the border. It looks like Mud. And the whole deck used to be cards like that. Hence the name Mud. So stop calling Mono Blue Mud, because that's not what it is. Thank you for that argument. I enjoy putting that out there. But I gotta give Ali Entrazi at least a little bit of props for putting this together. This is your Kadafa Forge Master deck, where you just basically abuse the hell out of it. Yeah, that's a good word for it. To get out of Blightsteel Colossus a lot earlier than you should, and then you hit him one time.
And the backup, I guess, is just making an unfair amount of mana with fast lands and Metalworker with a possible turn 3 Wyrmcrawler Engine.
Yeah, there is that. There's also when you do play against the mono colored decks, you get out your Sundering Titan and then make it die.
Yeah, the Sundering Titan could also potentially come out on turn 3 if you have an insane draw.
That's so unfair. This is my 8 drop, turn 3. Yeah. And I'm going to make it die now. What?
And by the way, your lands are gone.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for playing Goblins, Red Player. Goodbye. This is every reason to just... Oh. So somebody should definitely just jam a Magus of the Moon in here just to be ignorant. Okay, so we have I gotta give him credit, because anytime I see 4 Chalice of the Void and 4 Trinisphere in a deck, I'm my eyes go ooh, because I love me some Trinisphere, because it shuts down so many ignorant cards.
In 16th, we have the Ad Nauseam Tendrils deck, which is the legacy brother of the deck Rune Andersen was playing in the Mox.
Right.
So the true version of the deck.
Yeah, this one's a lot more unfair. Yes. A lot more unfair. This is your, you know, oh, you have no, there's no way you can disrupt me. I'm going to win turn one, two. Yeah, that happens.
He has 8 rituals to make that happen.
And all kinds of zeros. 4 Lion's Eye Diamond, 4 Lotus Petals. Just, I'm just going to play things for nothing. And then I'm going to put those into Cabal rituals and Dark rituals. And before you know it, I've dishandled you for 20. So not fair. But that was our legacy portion. Unfortunately, there was no really cool decks like Belcher to talk about. what deck are you running in Legacy, or do you approve of most, if you don't mind me asking?
Me?
Yes.
I don't really have the collection to be able to play much Legacy. But what I've tried a bit is a Blue Delver Tempo.
Okay.
The land base is outside of my finances at the moment for any of like the 3 color Delver decks.
Yeah, that's kind of a problem with everybody. So I can't say I blame you there. It's just,
even if you can't afford it, it's like $1,200 for 4 lands is like not worth it. Like, volcanic islands are super expensive.
Yeah.
It's just...
You're looking at it the wrong way, though. Yes, it is an initial investment of $12.
Oh, I know. No, I get
but
that
you
argument.
Never lose your money on these, man.
I just, personally, would never spend that much money on a single card, because at the end of the day, it is just cardboard, so...
Fair.
Yeah. And this is coming from someone who spends way more than they should
on Magic.
And
these cards are good.
And invest in Standard every fucking season. So
yes,
Standard is not an investment.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to lose your ass.
Yeah, yeah. So, which is, you know, as I've said, why I'm getting more and more into Modern. So
yeah, I mean, what do I know about investment? My favorite format is Booster Draft. So that's money spent every time I want to play.
Well, Booster Draft is fun.
Yeah.
What? Huh? So, what? Are you sick? How stoned are you right now to say that?
The process sealed. Is fun. Is that the difference?
Well, and it sealed is terrible right now. Booster Draft is a lot better than sealed. But I like that. The one thing I do really like about the drafts and stuff is when you sit down, it's like everybody is on like the same page, equal footing. And it's, I don't know, I think there's certainly a lot more skill involved than in draft and sealed, which is another reason I like it a bit more, but I don't know, just to me, that's the most fun part about draft is just, you never know what you're gonna get, and really everyone being on the same page to start with. You don't sit down from your opponent and automatically know it's like a bad matchup for you or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, what I find fun about it is, well, most of the things you mentioned, but additionally the fact that almost every card in a set is potentially playable in the right draft deck matchup.
Yeah. Yep, I actually have pointed out cards to players, like, oh no, this card is unplayable 99.9% of the time, but trust me, in this very specific instance, this is when you want to use this card, and it's cool to know how to bring those in. And, you know, I actually learn more of that stuff from doing sealed than I do draft, because I just don't try those in draft, you know what I mean? Where in sealed, it's like, well, that's my card pool, I gotta come up with something.
In draft, you can more consistently try to build an archetype. In sealed, you're stuck with whatever you open. But sealed is also twice the amount of boosters open, so it's an expensive hobby.
It is, but I find it to be a very fun hobby, but, you know, I'm insane. As I'm sure Ryan will sit there and scream and yell, you know, I'm completely nuts because I enjoy sealed.
If there were sealed FNMs or something at my local store, I would play it. But the only sealed events they run are pre-release.
Right. That's a big reason why I actually play online now and barely ever play in paper, because I can't find a sealed event in real life, which is really shame. You know, I can play the dumb pre-release ones with the seeded packs, but, you know, that's a whole nother argument that I've been over too many times and everyone understands I hate them.
Well, I think you got enough people at your store to be like, hey, can you run a sealed event, that they'd go for it. So.
Where? My store?
Any store, Hakon store, anywhere, if you ask, if, you know, if you just get enough guys at the store to yell at the owner, like, hey, you know, how about running a sealed event?
Sure, you can do that.
For you,
but
so.
What you have to take into consideration is the place where you play, where you get 30-some players for a Friday Night Magic, is not your average store. Your average store actually gets about 12. And you can probably figure four or five of those people just don't have the money to do sealed.
A booster pack in Norway, if you're buying it over the counter, is $6.50, or about that price. If you buy a whole box, you usually get them cheaper for around $160. So getting a whole pot of eight people, for example, to shell out for six boosters each any more often than maybe once every 6 months is going to be very hard, I think.
Well, that's a bit more than we pay for packs here.
Mm.
Yeah, by about $250.
Yeah.
Our packs are about $4. So, damn, you guys are catching the shaft over there. Okay, so, Ryan.
I wouldn't say that. I would give, my left nut to live in Scandinavia, so. they have a
we
lot.
We take it back in other areas, I guess.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, you clearly are winning in some spots, but as far as, like, your booster pack rice, you're.
Hey, Angelo, they make more money than us, so don't feel bad for them.
Valid point. They do make a lot more money than us.
Yeah, don't feel bad for them. There was an open this weekend. I don't know if
I was just talking about the Legacy Open.
I thought you were talking about the still on the invitational portion.
No, I was actually talking about the Legacy Open, because if you look at the way they have it set up, Legacy was before Standard for some reason.
Okay.
Yeah. Pay attention. So I was just getting into it too. So in Standard we have Greg Hammack versus Andy Vorel. I'm sorry, folks. I've worked a lot recently. Greg Hammack wins 2-0. We have Travis Harrison versus Harry Corvacy, and unfortunately Corvacy loses 2-1.
Hey, that's still our boy. He is the NV dropout. Go join the Open guy. He seems to if there's an invitational and he's in it, you can pretty much guarantee he's going to top eight the Open. So that's what's up, Harry. I'm just taking a little stab at him there, man. We love you and we know you'll top eight that invitational here soon enough. I just got to give you some shit, because the last two, it's just you've had bad luck and then you go to the Open and crush it. And these Opens aren't easy. Mind you, it's a lot of players who were in the Invitational that just did day two. So this is not your average Open either, mind you. So.
No.
I mean, Chris Van Meter in this top eight here. I mean,
We have Jacob Neighbors versus Miru Bano. And Neighbors wins 2-1. We have Chris Van Meter versus Kasun Wong. And Chris Van Meter wins 2-1. Neighbors beats Van Meter 2-1. Harrison over Hammock 2-0. And Harrison wins it all. So, you know what? If Corvacy's going to go down, he went down to the champion.
And I got to say, CVM, that's bad luck, buddy. More another month with the beard, it looks like. This is his second fourth place finish. He said he's not cutting the beard till he wins one of these. And he's looking more and more like ZZ Top every week. I like this Travis Harrison blue white devotion, if only because it runs one prognostic sphinx. It's just blue white slash the detention sphere and an Avara, but he's running a prognostic sphinx, which I think that card is so good. Like, I'd almost like to see like blue devotion with prognostic sphinx without the splash for white and more than one Biden Nefasta. He's only running one Biden Nefasta, like two or just because prognostic sphinx gives you the scry when you attack, and then the Biden gives you the draw off of that. Oh man, that's nuts. I don't know. I see potential there. I like prognostic sphinx. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I think the card's underused.
I like the one of riot control in the sideboard. Like, I think that's funny.
And one of pacifism.
Yeah, I can see the pacifism. The riot control just makes me laugh. Like, oh, you're playing aggro. Yay, I'm putting this in.
Yeah, I just don't like Light Slash, if only because of the mana. I mean, You're running the, you know, generally.
How is the mana hard?
Because you have eight sources of white land and you're trying to run, let's see, four, five, six cards.
You have 20 sources of blue.
Yeah, I just don't think that's 21 enough.
If you want to count Nick.
To reliably cast Attention Sphere on turn three, that's not, just mathematically, that's not enough lanes. There's not enough white sources in the deck, just math.
But most of the white spells are reactionary, so they're not necessarily only good in the early match. You can play them on turn six and they do the same thing, even more.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, you're not, you know, they're not like a creature or something that you're trying to play on curve or anything, but I'm not a big fan of the white splash in this list. I just don't think it needs it. I'd like to see like domestication and claustrophobia. You know, those seem to do a pretty good job.
And how do they take care of a pack rat? Just a question.
Rapid hybridization, cyclonic rift.
Okay, rift is the first one you've named. Hybridization is only getting rid of it the turn it comes down. So what if it's been down for four turns?
But then you're going to lose anyways.
But if you have a detention sphere, you can stop it.
I don't know. I'm with Adrian Sullivan on that. That this deck doesn't need white. Like, I just don't think it's, I think it's much better just mono blue.
I think the white's a good add myself.
Yeah, Detention Sphere is hella good. I mean, it's a super good card, but.
And Afar is great in this deck. I mean, even just as a one of, it's just great in this deck.
Yeah.
It was fun for a while after people really discovered that Devotion was a valid tactic, that you had all of these monocolored decks running around doing well, blue and black being the main ones, but you also saw red and green, and people were brewing white, and that was really fun. But now that the format has matured, you're seeing people splash stuff, because there's really no need to stick to just one color unless you have really bad fixing.
Right. If you stick to one color, you're always going to have a problem with a specific type of card. Just like Mono Black found out, oh crap, we can't kill enchantments.
Yeah, tell that to Yuya, Watanabe, and Shuhei, who, and Owen Turtenwald, and all the pros who still say Mono Black doesn't need a splash. It is the best deck, just Mono Black.
Let me ask you a question. When they play against each other.
Guild takes care of a lot of annoying enchantments for the deck. Really, I mean, Detention Sphere is annoying, but it's not the end-all be-all against Mono Black, dude. And
okay, when Mono Black plays Mono Black, let me just ask you a question. When Mono Black plays Mono Black, who usually wins?
If you can land the Underworld Connections or Pack Rat first, generally.
Okay, Underworld Connections is what?
Card draw.
And a what?
It's an enchantment, I get that. But, okay, Run Pithing Needle.
And then you shut off your own.
Okay, or you beat him with Thought Seizer Duress.
Yeah, okay, I have no problem with that.
Mono Black doesn't need a slash. Maybe Mono Blue does. Maybe slashing the white is what this deck really wants. I don't play it, so.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the white in there, and even with Mono Black, I do like those decks we saw at the championship. I do like seeing those little splashes where it's just like, I need one card. One card to push this deck over the top. Especially when it comes down to, like, your mirror matches, where that one card to push you over the top legitimately pushes you over the top. Anyway, let's move on. Mono Red Aggro from Hammock. It's a little different, but not too much different. It's kind of old, but new. You know what I mean? Like, it's all the old toys that we used to play a while back. And it wasn't good anymore. And then Control came back, so this deck's good again. Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah. I like the
rotation format.
Gorehouse Walker, the two Gorehouse Chainwalkers, that's pretty funny. And a mono red deck with no mutavaults. I think that's a bad call, but I guess you really just want to be able to slam Ash Sellet on turn two and Boros Reckoner turn three and never have that issue.
Or Burning Tree Emissary on turn two.
Yeah, and Burst Tree. Yeah.
That's a big play.
Yeah, mutavault can be a lot of you, I guess. In a lot of instances, so.
John Munsters, Mono Black Devotion, Esper Control from Harry. He played that very well over the weekend. I watched a couple of his matches. Mono Black Devotion, Bant Control. But if you look all the way down here to Ali and Trozzi guys, five color ramp.
Oh god.
And it's not one of those goofy, Maze's End decks. Like, this is a five-color ramp deck. Two Angels of Serenity, one Ashen Rider, four Axebane Guardian, three Blood Baron of Viscopa, four Sylvan Caritid, two Sylvan Primordial, one Obsidat Ghost Council, four Jace Architect of Thought, one Vraska the Unseen, two Rakdos Return, one Mizzium Mortars of Guild, two Divination, four Sphinx's Revelation, an Abrupt Decay, a Detention Sphere, and two Chromatic Lanterns. Yes, we touched every single color with that.
That's pretty sick.
Look at this mana base for Breeding Pool, because, okay, green and blue are your power colors, apparently. Two Godless Shrine, three Overgrown Tomb, a Stomping Ground, two Temple Garden, a Temple of Abandon, three Temple of Deceit, a Temple of Malice, three Temple of Mystery, a Temple of Plenty, and three Temple of Silence. I love this deck.
Pretty interesting. His sideboard's all over the place, too.
It is utter garbage slapped together to make something cool, kind of like Fraggle Rock. There's a reference nobody's gonna get.
Oh, Fraggle Rock. I love Fraggle Rock, man.
You don't remember the Trash Man?
I do, but I don't know.
That's what the reference related to.
Okay.
Take note, we've got all five colors and loads of ramp, and there's not a single chromatic ore here.
Nope.
Apparently not good enough.
No, it's because it's not. Chromantic Lantern is, I'm pretty sure Ollie has called this his favorite card before, so if makes the stack go, I think if you land Chromantic Lantern, your opponent's gonna be in a rough way because this has a lot of sweet things. I love Ashen Rider in a fucking standard deck. We didn't even think that would happen. And Angel of Serenity, who doesn't love that card, so.
Every person that played against it a few months ago.
I like it making a comeback, man. This is the second time I've seen it in recent weeks in different decks, and yeah.
It's still 3-0 rings on a stick. It's pretty good. Sideboard, 2 Ratchet Bombs, a Trading Post. That's good in this deck. An Aetherling, an Arbor Colossus, a Mistcutter Hydra, Detention Sphere, an Obsidian, a Pelucranos, 2 Drowning Sorrow, Arachnos Return, and 3 Thoughtseize. And this made top 16.
Well, to his credit, he's a good player, so.
I know. I mean, he ran this and Mud. I mean, so he went off the beaten trail over the 2 days.
Well, he's been on this 5-color ramp thing for a while. I heard him talk about 5-color like a month or so ago. So okay. Not only is it a unique list that people aren't used to seeing, so you catch a lot of opponents off guard, that's obviously huge, but he's experienced with it and, knows the deck pretty well, so. Which I think is huge in the standard environment. Like, this standard isn't very skill intensive, a lot of people say, and I tend to agree with them on that, but it does, a lot of matches just simply come down to how well you know your deck and how well you know your matchups. And that's something I actually like about this standard season, so.
And that is what I hate about standard in general.
In the whole 75 cards, there are 6 cards in total that are not rare or mythic rare. And that includes the land base.
Really? I didn't see that. That is crazy. Yeah, this is mythic madness.
Well. 3 Deviation and 4 X-Bane Guardian. The rest is mythics and rares.
Okay, so if you want to play it, you're going to spend some money. If you want to do unique, strange things, you got to spend cash, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be all of our tournament rambling that we're going to do tonight. I do have to bring up a small piece of news about PAX East. They're not holding any really big, good tournaments. They're kind of doing some strange things. 3-player Mini Master.
Ooh.
Yeah, they really missed an opportunity here as far as I'm concerned. Like, they should probably hold something like a GP at PAX East. At least last year, I believe that's where they had the box. So, I'm a little disappointed by this. You can do Modern Masters draft. I mean, that's cool. Yeah. But then, you know, when you win, you get Board of the God boosters, so that's not cool. So, enjoy yourself at PAX East. Boring. Did anything come out today that I might have missed, guys? No one's speaking, so I'm assuming nothing. Okay, now, this is the part of the show that we've been doing these last couple weeks where we're getting to know our posse members. This one's been here for a while. You was one of the first 20 or 25 members to join the posse, Huckum?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
we've seen really grow the Facebook group from just a couple of guys who put their names up there to a living forum where we actually have discussions.
Yes, so. I love that about our group because they actually do get on there and they do talk and they do seem to really, get into it. I've been in Magic groups before where, I might as well just post to the wall that nobody speaks.
Yeah, I mean, I visit other podcast pages and forums all the time, and even ones with, 2-3 times as many people in them aren't nearly as active. Another good thing about not to keep tugging our nuts is that we kind of take it as like a family approach. We're a fucked up family, and
boy, howdy are we.
People go out of their way to introduce themselves to the new people that join. and just give each other shit like family does. And that, you know, no one seems to get, like, I know some of the shit that some people say to each other on our page. If it was on another podcast page, they'd be like, fuck you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just would take it, you know, personally and get offended or whatever. With us, it's kind of like understood that, hey, you may get, some shit. You might have to take some shit if you post something stupid.
Yours is great to speak their mind, and that's a good thing, I think, in any social group.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, and plus we have our very own Clues, and you and Hakone, you know.
The voice of reason, actually, on our page.
Hakone, you are the voice of reason on our page. That is true.
It's not me. It's not Ryan. I stoke fires on that page the whole time.
No. We need Hakone and Corey to come in occasionally and remind us that we're all, you know, need to take a step back or whatever, or look at things differently, or, yeah.
So obviously, you know, like we said, you know, you're Scandinavian. Where exactly are you from?
Trondheim, which is the fourth largest city in Norway. It's what we call the middle of the country, which if you look at Norway on a map, it's like a big lump and then a long thin thing trailing off to the north.
Uh-huh.
And Trondheim is right where it goes from being a lump to being a long thin thing. Yeah. So
Okay. That's
where I was born, and that's where I've grown up, and I'm still living here.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think I mentioned in a recent episode, Hakone sent us a pretty nice email and had a lot of information for me on Scandinavia, and I've kind of looked into it. I might pronounce this wrong. It's Trondheim?
Trondheim, yeah.
Trondheim. It's pretty historic, right? It's a pretty historic city area.
Supposedly founded in 997.
Wow. Yeah, that is a long time. Yeah.
Wow. So what? It was just huts then, though, right?
Viking
Raiders. Where are Vikings?
I said supposedly founded because apparently there was a chieftain living in this area before that time. So there was probably at the very least a pretty big farm here somewhere, like the estate of a chieftain.
That's pretty cool, for sure. So your English is, I gotta say, it's impressive to say the least. You're certainly more well-spoken than a lot of us in the posse. Very well-written, well-versed. What is the language that what is the big languages there that are spoken? I mean, obviously,
well,
English too, but.
In day-to-day life, we speak Norwegian, which is extremely closely related and also very similar to Swedish and Danish, but they are considered separate languages. Although, they're probably so close that to an outsider, you might consider them accents of the same, or dialects of the same language.
They're like mutually intelligible.
Pretty much, yeah.
Now, for some reason, I thought German was spoken quite a bit in Norway too, but I'm probably wrong about that. So
a lot of people know a bit of German as a second language. Pretty much everyone knows enough English to get by as a tourist in the US, for example. But a fair amount also know enough German to do the same in Germany.
Okay.
And German is really easy for us to learn because it's also quite similar.
Okay. Did you start speaking English in like in school as a child, or is it something you just picked up, or?
Well, my father's English is very good, so that helps. But we get taught English in school from the age of 7.
You know what I liked about what you said there, and this is something I hate to bash on my own country because you know I love it, but you know, if you're planning on going to other countries, you probably should pick up their language. You know, like you said, oh, when we go there, we know this language so we can do this. So Americans out there, we're terrible at it. You know, we go to, you know, China and we yell at them in English as loud as we can, and then we look at them and go, stupid idiots, they don't understand us. No, you're wrong.
Yeah, anyone who thinks that is a fucking moron.
to be fair, though, if I were to travel to China, I'd be speaking English to them, because learning Chinese is a huge obstacle. So I would also expect someone there to know a bit of English. But when traveling to countries where the language is actually close enough to English for learning it to be easy, at least some phrases, then you should at least know how to say good day and thank IQ and such things in yeah. French, German, Spanish, whatever they speak, where you want to go.
Right, where's the bathroom?
My girlfriend speaks fluent Spanish and uses it every day professionally. It is in the process of learning German right now too, and which is going to come in handy when we definitely when we go to Europe and make a trip over there. So. I'm just even being able to ask somebody where's the bath, you know, I mean, just some, just the little things.
For practical things, probably you'd get by on English, but for being polite to people and making friends, just saying hello in their own language as an icebreaker is really valuable.
Yeah. Well, a lot of tourist spots, a lot of the big tourist hotspots internationally, you're going to find a lot of English. That's kind of one thing we as Americans have, like, you know, kind of like an unearned privilege, I guess you could say, like around the world, we could go to a lot of places and, English is just kind of, you know, can be easy to find. So.
Yeah. Do you have any questions for us?
Actually, I have, one thing I've been wondering. I've got the impression from the discussions on the Posse page on Facebook and from your comments on the podcast that there are a few members of the Posse that you know personally because they are from your area. You meet them in real life and so on. I just wondered if you could just make a quick rundown of who in the Posse do you know in real life?
As far as like good friends go, like I know quite a few of them in real life, like the Beckmans I know the, Brodericks, see, I don't have a list in front of me.
Buttercup, obviously.
Right, I know Buttercup.
Frank.
Frank, I've known for years. Harry, of course. There's a, you know, a pretty good list of people that I know, but as far as like people that I've, you know, really hung out with and like I would consider like, you know, really, really good friends. There's really only a few of them. One of them used to be on this show. and, you know, Buttercup, you know, I consider him a pretty good friend. You know, we've done some things together, but most of them I just met at card shops locally. And while I have a very social dialogue with them and, you know, I wouldn't say that they're not, you know, friends, but at the same time, they're not like people who come over my house and like sit here and sling cards with me. They're just kind of people that when I go to the card shop locally, they're there and, you know, we've gotten to know each other over the years. Mm. Yeah, there's probably, at one time, as far as the Posse page goes, there was, I would say at one time it was like 80% people that I knew, but now I would say that that's probably down to about 10. It's not as many as it once was.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
How many people are on the Posse page now? It's grown huge.
110, 120, something like that. I don't know. I put two new people in yesterday. Like, it seems like we go on little streaks where we gain like 10 to 12 people, then it slows up for a week, and then we'll gain another 10 to 12 people in a week, and then it slows up. It's been doing that actually for about the last 2 months.
Yeah, we've been pimping the shit out of it too, so that helps, but, something, I mean, Hawk, you know, I get shit for being super political, and that's kind of my thing.
Oh Christ, what are you gonna bring up now?
What I wanna ask is, what do you as a, you know, what do outsiders, what do you make of American politics? Like, what do you, like, I don't know how much news of ours you get over there or whatever, but.
Oh boy, should I be politically correct about this? there's a couple of main differences between, at least I could make the comparison with Norwegian politics, which I know fairly well. That is, you have, pretty much only two political parties.
Which is a big mistake. I know, the big thing I would change for sure. How many do you guys have? It's a multi-party, right?
I don't have the number in my head, but we probably have close to 10 different parties in parliament at the moment.
Wow.
And we have a coalition government of two different parties. So one of the strange things with American politics is that you only have the two parties. So it looks like a lot of the time the cause of the discussion is playing second row, whereas just like the tug of war between the two parties is more important.
Yeah,
it's actually kind of funny because realistically we actually have about 10 parties. It's just only two of them get federal funding.
No, see, we don't. We have independent.
Would you let me talk for once, Ryan? There actually are about 10 different parties. Two of them get federal funding because they received a certain amount of the vote. And the other ones can't, for some reason, they can't break that glass ceiling to where they get federal funding. And because of the fact that they're not getting federal funding, they can't put themselves on TV. They can't push themselves out there. And once you get the federal funding, you also get, you begin to get bigger backers who can start shelling money into you. Like, we have a thing called a Green Party here, which is kind of a joke. Ralph Nader is probably the most famous of the Green Party. But and he did the best, and he still wasn't able to get enough in the presidential election to be, to get that type of funding. So
what matters is at the end of the day, though, it's a two-party system.
In general, it is a two-party system at the end of the day, but there are more parties. It's not like it's just, locked in. Oh, there's only two.
We have other parties, but their interests don't get represented congressionally, which is something that Scandinavia and Norway kind of has an advantage with multi-parties being represented in their parliament. Everyone's interests kind of get spoken for, and it's a lot harder to, buy elections and whatnot and buy off certain sectors of the population. I don't know. I hear that you guys think our politics are kind of funny. So, yeah.
Yeah. The second point I was going to bring up was that it seems to me, and this is a can of worms, so just close it if you don't want to talk about it. But it seems like religion is a much bigger part of American politics than it is in Norway. Because in Norway, religion is mostly a personal question, and it's not something that you generally speak about with other people. It's just your personal conviction, your choice, sort of thing. That being said, the Christian Democratic Party does have 10 seats in parliament, so they're not completely out of the politics.
Yeah, we have this thing called, and I call it the Great American Myth, and it's called the separation of church and state. It's right there.
And it's sad in the last few years that we've seen
a rise in the religious right.
Far right, and these, religious zealots get a bit into politics, and a lot of people think that erroneously that the founding fathers were religious and shit, when in fact they all thought the Bible was shit. That's just a fact.
Not all of them.
They all thought the Bible was shit.
Quite a few of them did, but painting a wide picture over a lot of people. I'm just pointing that out, brother.
The ones that signed the Declaration of Independence thought it was shit.
All 13 of them.
But the fact is things like our original motto was out of many one, and then in 1950s, it was changed to In God We Trust. I mean, we've just had this little things, I don't know, and what we're seeing right now in a lot of American politics with the Tea Party is what they call the Dominionist Movement, and it's, a lot of the fervent evangelical right and stuff trying to work their way and influence into politics, and it's really a shame because a lot of these churches and stuff are tax exempt, and yet they'll, talk politics on Sunday to the masses, and really that's a shame because, for starters, it's illegal. If you're ever in a church and you're a preacher, whoever mentions politics, if that any political anything comes out of his mouth right away, please report him to your IRS branch. It's just your duty, because as soon as they do that, they're no longer tax exempt. And I think a lot of them need to start paying for that. So, but yeah, you bring up an interesting point. It's kind of scary. I think that's a trend that's been happening in the last few years. I don't know if that's always been the case here.
It has.
I mean, the evangelical right and the right is always, the religious right has always had an influence on politics, but I don't think to the degree that it has been since the rise of the Tea Party, obviously. I mean, they kind of fused together, so. Yeah.
Okay, I'm killing this subject now because I don't feel like arguing with you for the next hour.
Brings up the point, and certainly politics, and when you can leave that stuff aside, government runs a lot smoother.
Well, look, I believe in the separation of church and state. Okay, I do believe that that's the way it should be. What I believe should be nobody's business but my own. Or what I don't believe should be nobody's business but my own. And that's the way I, think it should be. I also think, if my president decides to sleep with some lady, that's none of my business either. Or my senator. It's just none of my business. I don't care. But
yeah, gives a shit.
Yeah, as long as they're governing.
It's scary when people bring try to govern with their religious precepts and religious law and try to bring that into politics and enforce their what they think is right on other people.
You know, the current president of France, he had an affair, and after his affair, his popularity in the French population rose.
Sounds like Bill Clinton.
sounds like the French. But
yeah, it does, actually. You know, there was a guy in Toronto who was smoking crack, and he's a mayor. People like him, too.
Yes.
What?
So this is something, though, that you've noticed in our politics, huh? That's interesting. That's not something I've heard from as far as an outside perspective. I usually hear, you know, just how funny the whole two-party thing is and, you know, a lot about just, you know, a lot of things I don't really want to say here on the air, whatever.
Okay, then don't. So, Hawk, what do you do, you know, on your free time when you're not playing Magic, man?
On my free time when I'm not playing Magic? I'm a hobby chef, so I cook a lot of different stuff. Fairly good at it. And I also brew beer sometimes.
Oh, my God. You're like me, but over there.
What kind of brews do you like?
I'm a huge fan of different pale ales, British pale ales, Indian pale ales, American pale ales, all the different types.
Nice. You should try. I don't know if you could get it there, but, I want to say Dogfish Head. Their IPA is amazing. I'm not sure if you guys get that over there though, so.
I've heard about it, but I haven't tried that one. There's, on any alcohol stronger than 4.5% by volume, there's a government run monopoly. So there are no private run liquor stores. So what alcohol we get is what they choose to import. Now, they're running a pretty decent shop, meaning that, if I go to one of their, like, government run liquor stores, in Norway, the selection is generally better than what you'd get in most liquor stores I've ever visited abroad. But it also means that getting sort of specialty stuff is extra challenging. So no Dogfish Head. Of American beers of note that I've liked, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale is pretty good.
That is a good one. Sierra Nevada makes a lot of good stuff, actually. They got a like. I really like my, Belgian whites, that sort of thing. So I like wheat ales quite a bit, but that's just cause I'm a girl. So.
Yep.
But no, I also, I like the IPAs. Hophead is another one I'd recommend if you can get your hands on. So yeah. Yeah. So that's, are you brewing something at the moment? Are you making anything up right now or?
Nothing brewing at the moment, but we've got planned for the weekend for brewing a classic English pale ale.
Nice, nice.
Something cooling for the summer.
Okay. You guys are pretty socialist there, from what I understand. You have But do you guys get school for free? Like, do you get to go to college for free?
Yeah.
What benefits do you get out there?
Well, public schooling in Norway is pretty much the norm. There are private schools, but everyone except religious minorities attend public school, basically. There's free college, free university. There's no tuition at government-run university in Norway.
Yeah. We're like one of the few developed nations in the world that just doesn't do that. I mean, and a lot of people complain, you guys pay a lot in taxes, but you reap the social benefits, and that's for sure. And society as a whole, it's just vast improvements, like, that offers. That's really
In addition to the whole school thing, we've got very good public health care for everyone, and we've got a welfare system that I'd say it works pretty well.
Okay.
So if I were to have an accident tomorrow and I'd be paralyzed from the waist down or something horrible, so I could never work again, I could probably get through life living an okay existence at the very least, at the cost of the state.
You guys really take care of each other there, and that's something that's real hard. I know you mentioned it in your email. It's like really hard to become a citizen in Scandinavia, so. Something has gone. Megan is a teacher, so that's kind of one advantage we have going. So.
Yeah, as an immigrant, you really need to be sponsored by an employer. And an employer basically has to write a letter to immigration saying how you have special skills that he needs.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on, guys. Ryan's turning this into a political campaign that, quite frankly, doesn't need to be on the show.
I was just asking about what kind of benefits they got over there.
Yeah, but then you, dude, trust me, you did, okay?
You'll just edit out whatever you don't like.
I try really not to edit. Like, I really don't want to edit him out.
It just amazes me. It just amazes me how enlightened so much of the world is and how much more ahead of us they are, and like we still argue about social issues that should have stopped being argued about in 1930. I don't know. It's just it's interesting. It's I don't know. It's
I get it's, that. But
my security dog.
Like I get what you're saying, Ryan. Trust me, I do. But I'm not 100% sure that every one of our listeners agrees with you. Or, you know, and this is not a political podcast, so I don't want to push political agendas.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure this is a magic podcast.
That's what I thought, even during this part of the show. But, so let's just move on to the next subject there. What have you been up to recently, Hawk?
Well, actually for the last 2 weeks, I haven't done much of playing Magic at all because life sort of got in the way. So I'd rather just talk about what I've got planned for this week because there's a lot of stuff going on. The most exciting thing is, we're going to run a local vintage tournament.
Sweet.
Which is the first one in, I think since since forever. And in order to be able to get as many players as we want to try out this new format, it's going to be run as 100% proxied. So it's not run by a store, it's run by a person, and this is just to get everyone interested.
Right.
Absolutely.
A lot of the ones that you do see around here, of course, you know, Wizards can't back them because they do allow proxies. But it's usually something like you can use up to 20 proxies in your deck, and that's usually pretty fair because a lot
that's
of the cards.
A lot of copies.
It is.
Well, but 20?
I've gone to some 20s. I mean, usually it's just your power, and you just kind of move on from there, because the rest of the cards, especially if you play Legacy, you probably have a good bit of them. But, you know, like if you're trying to foster a brand new group of players into that scene, then it's probably a good idea to go 100% one time, you know, a couple times, until they decide that they want to shell out money to actually get some of those cards that, you know, cost an arm, a leg, and then part of their head.
It's basically one of the local players who does have a complete vintage deck, and a powered cube, who just wants people to play with, I think. So he's organizing it.
That's cool of him. Yeah, shout out to him. Cool.
Shout out to Jonasson.
Okay. Ryan, what you been up to, bro?
Shit, not a damn thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Dude, it's been a pretty boring week, so.
Yeah, I kind of know the feeling. Like, I've worked an absurd amount of hours recently. Like, in the last 2 days, I put in 23 hours.
I did build a mono black aggro over the last couple days.
Yeah. Okay. And then, like, aside from that, I've really done not much of anything short of, like, playing a bunch of sealed matches on Magic Online to get ready for Philly.
God, I feel bad for you.
Yeah, but you know what? The whole Philly thing, yeah, you can feel bad for me. I don't care. I'm enjoying myself.
Hey, that's all that matters.
Yeah, the whole Philly thing, like, I tried to set up a reservation for the, for all the posse members who are gonna be there to, go to some bar. And I need, like, an exact number of these people aren't going to set aside the chairs for us. And I'm like, well, it's gonna be anywhere between, like, 10 and 25 people. And they're like, oh, we need an exact number. And I'm like, but you don't understand. It's a convention that's coming to town, and between 10 and 25 people, when it's over, are coming over here with me. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, there's an area for us. Like, oh, we need an exact number. It's like, all right, whatever. But we still have plans, nonetheless. It's just, we're just going to raid this bar now, and, you know, one of us gets into a fight, they're going to be like, oh, you have to go. And it's like, well, how many people are coming with us? Oh, the whole bar.
There you go.
So there's that. But I mean, yeah, I probably should bring up the whole art contest again, though. guys, we have an art contest. $100, you got till June 2nd. You're allowed to have 3 entries. Send it to me via Twitter or email. Okay? Good. Send them. I've gotten some good ones.
Good one.
I've got
my vote's on John Kelso, the butt crack drawing. I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, he's not winning.
That's my vote.
Well, I'm not putting that up as our logo on everything. No. Just not, dude. It's, no.
Playmat.
Yeah, playmat of just a stick figure's butt crack. Yeah, that makes sense. it's terrible. Hawk, it was so bad. You got any shout-outs, Hawk?
Shout-outs. Yeah, first of all, I want to shout-out you guys. This has been fun, so thank you for having me on the cast.
Ah, no problem.
Dude,
and,
thank you, man.
What
time is it there?
Right now, it's 4:15.
Oh, my God. You're a fucking soldier, dude.
I've gone beyond the point where I was tired and gone on into the hyperactive mode, I think.
Oh, you're going to get silly here soon, then.
Yeah. I also want to shout out my local gaming store. If you're in Trondheim and listen to this and you don't attend the games at Outland, just get there.
Yeah.
Get there. We have drafts on Wednesdays and Fridays. So come play with us.
And I hope they're listening to us there. You know, let your friends know, man. We're the David Hasselhoff of podcasts. They need to give us a listen.
Now that I'm actually on the cast, I'll be mentioning it even louder on Facebook and stuff. So we'll see if we'll pick up some listeners.
Sweet.
Sweet, sweet. Always appreciate the help. Ryan, shout outs.
Shout out to Megan because this weekend was fucking awesome, more or less.
I ain't been doing shit, but this weekend was awesome.
Fuck you. You should be in maybe too explicit for the cast.
Okay.
But, so shout out to her, and shout out to my dog for being a bastard the last couple days. Dude, I don't know, dude. My dog's just being a dick the last couple days, so I'm going to give him an anti-shout-out, I suppose. And, anti-shout-out Mother Nature. Fucking can't make your mind up. It's like,
dude, it is nice as hell here. Like, I have nothing to complain about. Dude, I got, like, suntan.
Like 70 last Friday and then snowing on Saturday.
Well, let me see. Sunday I woke up and there was snow on the ground. Today, which is Tuesday, April 1st, I drove down the road with the windows down in a short sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
76 degrees. It's beautiful. I'm not arguing with it as long as it stays beautiful.
Yeah. What is the weather like over on your side of the world there, Hawk?
It's been a really strange winter. I commented earlier when you had the extreme cold that we've actually had really mild weather. So for all of February, the temperature didn't drop below zero, which is insane for this part of the country.
Is that zero Celsius?
It didn't drop below freezing.
Okay. Yeah, you know, 32 degrees, 0 degrees. I understood what you said.
right now it's, I guess it's around 40 in your degrees, so.
Just above freezing. Okay, so yins are at like what? That's like what, 4 degrees?
Yeah.
That's not that warm.
Oh,
yeah, I plan on visiting Norway in the summer.
That's good. That's good. We had a tiny bit of snowfall a week ago and it started to melt already. So it's definitely been the mildest winter ever and it looks like spring is coming early as well. So
sweet. That is sweet.
We're not the only ones having weird, weather issues. That's good to know.
Yeah. So, let's see. Shout outs. Shout out to Buttercup. Because
did Hawk get through his?
I believe so.
Okay, just wanted to
make sure. I did not shout out the posse yet because
they'll get theirs. But go ahead, man.
I wanted to shout out the posse because the reason why I listen to the cast is because I want to listen to you guys. But the reason why I post on the Facebook group is because I enjoy the discussions with the posse.
Sweet. Hey, we enjoy it, dude. I love the stuff you post on there. I've said it before. I'll think about something and then you'll post something and it just totally alters everyone's perspectives. You guys play a lot of different, just like the Japanese do. You guys play different cards and find different ways to interact with the meta, and anytime you bring us some of that information, it's fucking, it's awesome. You know what I mean? And it helps everybody. So.
You know what? Goddamn feedback. It's doing it again. Anyway, I want to move to my shout outs, but I do have one question for you that, you know, how did you find our show?
It was on MTG Cast.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if it was like through a second channel or, you know, if you just stumbled across it on MTG Cast and was like, here we go. Do you listen to a lot of podcasts or something, or just did something like make you want to listen to ours?
No, I actually do listen to a lot of podcasts. Okay. So when my interest in magic reblossomed into a full-fledged hobby, I did also look up a lot of magic podcasts, and after a few episodes, Pidim sort of floated to the top in terms of constructed, spiky constructed podcasts.
Sweet. Well, okay. We're glad to have you as a listener, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Alright, I'll move into my shout-out stuff. Buttercup, again, just because he's Buttercup. Daniel Beckman, because he's going to be riding the Philly with me and Buttercup. And my wife. So that's kinda cool.
Sweet.
Shout out to Slick Jagga, because, you know, he hooked me up with this place in Philly where we're actually going to have this get together. And, shout out to those boys from the Tap and Sack podcast, cause, yeah, you know. You should know by now. If you are missing the GP Beijing part of our show, go to Tap and Sack. You'll hear it there. we are recording on April Fool's. Shout out again, you know, to the rest of the posse, because you guys are awesome, and, you know, you are the reason we continue to do this. And big reason why we were doing this whole 10 episodes in a row with posse members. And huge shout out to you, Hawk, because it is stupid fuck early where you're at, and you're still awake just to talk to us. And that is a hell of a compliment, whether you realize it or not.
He's a soldier. Soldier.
Do you have any contact info that you'd want to give out, or do you just want to stay anonymous and be like, hey, find me on the page or don't find me at all?
I believe you can find me on the Facebook group. So if you want to get a hold of me, PM me on Facebook. I post regularly enough on the posse page there for anyone to find me, I think.
Okay, Ryan, how would people get a hold of you, bruh?
At Brother Yan on Facebook, on Twitter.
How stoned are you?
at Brother Ryan on Twitter. Get at me. I recently surpassed 600, so keep it up. Get at me there. And of course on the posse page on Facebook, man, where you can find, you know, good looking Norwegian guys like Hakan and, you know,
ugly ass dudes like me.
Yeah, I mean, get at us there and keep our page growing, guys. If you're listening to this and you probably got a Facebook like the rest of the fucking world, you know, just show some love. So,
yep.
Yeah, we're not asking you to write, you know, your thoughts on the meta every day or anything like that. I know we got plenty of people that have never said anything on there, but if you are looking for a forum where you can discuss magic and ideas you have, hit us up.
Yeah, or even ramble about sandwiches. That comes up a lot more often than it probably should. if you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at GonkSuo on Twitter, also the same on MTGO. You can also find me for a few more weeks on the Imps Prison every other week. You can also get a hold of me. Oh, guys, you got to start pretty soon here. The wife has been doing some research and some work on the website. It looks a lot better. It functions a lot better. And new things are beginning to go up at pitimpspodcast.com. So,
and we have an awesome writer in Ryan Tice.
Yes, I should have another writer coming pretty soon here. He said he was going to send me something by last Friday, but I still ain't fucking got it yet. So,
Tice, thank you for your Facebook message earlier, Tice. He sent me a little something about Bramaz I got to look into. So,
yeah, that's sweet.
That's my boy.
You could also get a hold of me at pititpodcast@gmail.com if you need something a little long form. Next week, we're going to go over Grand Prix Phoenix, SCG Milwaukee, and I believe Frank is coming on next week. And we're going to do like a GP primer for you guys who may have never been to a GP or just need a refresher. because you're going to Philly or plan on going to a GP in the next few years. Little simple things that you should know going into it. And he's going to stay for the whole show this time. This is actually the first time he's going to do that instead of just being on for a very small portion where he goes over rules with us. But until next week, guys.
Hey, fuck yes. You know what, Hakan? We get a fuck yes Scandinavia from you.
Fuck yes Scandinavia.
Yes. Have a good one. And go fuck yourself.